A student's first encounter with American history is the Revolution, usually through a series of subjective accounts drawn from the popular events of the Revolutionary War. Our view of the fight for independence has always been through the eyes of the patriots, humble colonists who were pursuing deliberate lives in a country that offered them freedom of religion and land ownership, but not representation or sovereignty. The 13 colonies were besieged by an oppressive army of occupation that was dispatched by a king and his parliament who wrongly assumed that an intimidating show of force would suppress a perceived colonial insurrection in lieu of diplomacy. Punitive sanctions such as quarantine and seizure and other coercive actions would stoke the embers of discontent into a firestorm that raged in the name of liberty. Indeed, this is the historical foundation of our nation that we all have been taught. But today, let us consider the perspective of our adversary. The typical British soldier came from impoverished English, Welsh, Scottish, and Irish families. His only hope of obtaining worthwhile employment would be enlistment in His Majesty's armed forces. He would then be shipped off to a foreign land to gallantly serve his military duty for the crown so as to protect an imperial empire. The average royal enlistment was 10 years with a minimum wage that was insubstantial. Even when these wages were sent home, their families could barely augment their tentative daily existence. The British soldiers were nomads, living mostly out of their knapsacks and billeted in their personal tents. They took solace in the company of their fellow enlisted men by playing cards. Some wrote letters home and kept diaries, while others read any books that were available to them. Some men sedated themselves with rum. They were a handsome, mobile fighting force and could parade like no other army in the world. They had snappy red and white uniforms, the finest polished muskets, and glistening bayonets. They were well-trained, yet ironically, they were unprepared. Myopia plagued the British High Command. To their defense, there were unforeseen circumstances, but there were also intonations of overconfidence and evidence of British officers putting their own personal predilections above the needs of their brigades. General Gage thought that the colonists would be lions whilst we are lambs, but if we take the resolute party, they will be very meek. Lord North assumed that the Americans would pose little challenge in the event of war, for they have no standing army or navy, and only a few seasoned officers, and Britain possesses a professional army and the world's greatest navy. They underestimated the ability of the 2 million settlers in America to assemble and muster 100,000 men, more than four times the size of Britain's army. They failed to recognize that their fledgling colony could replace its losses and provision their troops more easily than they could, a lifeline that was stretched to its tether 3,000 miles back across the Atlantic Ocean. They miscalculated the ability of a poorly equipped opponent that could retreat and melt away into the woods of an uncharted land nearly six times the size of England, while they were wholly dependent upon coastal supply bases. They lacked foresight that a protracted war would bankrupt Great Britain and risk a broader war with Spain. They never imagined that 13 separate colonies would set aside their differences and unite under one flag and engage England's age-old enemy, France, to aid their cause. On April 19th, 1775, these soldiers became prey for the colonial militias. They were routed in a merciless ambush. Yes, they were disciplined, and yes, they held their formations, but they executed obsolete maneuvers of a bygone era, and in the end, they had to run for their lives. Later, they were humiliated by newspapers in their homeland as wild Irish asses. The hardships that the British soldiers had to endure in a climate and a culture so different to their own was almost incomprehensible when compared with today. Their personal safety was always at risk. They were surrounded by a hostile population that wished them harm. They were vulnerable and had to travel in groups for their own protection. They would suffer from disease, depression, boredom, fear, frustration, hunger, dampness, inadequate winter clothing, loneliness, and even dishonor. But if you asked a British soldier during the American Revolution what the greatest pain they had to endure in time of war, his reply would be homesickness. He'd say, "I miss me wife, I miss me children, and I miss me mum." And he soon realized that he may never see them again. As Americans, we were, and we still are, atavistic. Today, let us step across the battle lines and extend a hand to a fallen English brother, to the five boys interred in this burial ground and honored by the marker over there. If only we could apologize to all of you. Our musket balls were meant for the policies of your monarch and his aloof aristocrats. They were not meant for you. It wasn't personal, mate.